Welcome to Side 10 of the Silva Method. In this session, you'll undertake an especially interesting and rewarding task. Using the powers of your mind that you've been developing throughout this program, you'll now create your own mental laboratory, an ideal inner space to which you can return whenever you want to do intuitive or clairvoyant work. After you've created your laboratory, you'll learn how you can use it as a setting for healing others and for the relief of their pain. Here once again is Dr. Bob Stone.
In the outer physical world, the objective world, you have specific places for your various activities, a kitchen, a dining room, an office, and so forth. Things get done much more efficiently when physical space is organized like this. So it makes sense that having a special place in the subjective, inner world, will allow you to do creative work more effectively, too. This is what you are going to construct for yourself in the next few minutes. In other words, you're going to create a mental laboratory. Not only that, but you are going to invite expert counselors into your laboratory to assist you with whatever task you're engaged in. The mental laboratory is where you'll really be able to control and use your mind's genius potential. The mental laboratory gives you a method of functioning within the subjective dimension that enables you to create anything you desire so that it can be manifest in the outer physical dimension. In other words, what you do in your mental laboratory can translate into positive changes in your work, your health, and your relationships with friends and family. Jose Silva originated the concept of creating a special interior space for doing subjective work during the early stages of his research when he was working with children to develop their clairvoyant potential. The way it came about is very interesting. Jose found that the children sometimes felt disoriented when they were at a level of deep relaxation. As a result, Jose realized that people would function more comfortably at the subjective dimension if they visualized or imagined an environment that was similar to the physical world. This was how the idea for the laboratory was born, to be located wherever you want, furnished however you like, and completed with whatever medications and instruments you need to solve all problems. The idea for inviting counselors into the mental lab came about in the same way. Jose was working with his daughter Margarita, who at that time was about 7 years old. She had gone to her alpha level and was engaged in using her clairvoyant powers to help a woman who was ill and in a hospital. Suddenly, Margarita seemed to become frightened, and when Jose asked what was the matter, Margarita said, "It's the woman in the hospital. Her eyes are so big they scare me." By this point in his work, Jose knew how well the subjective level responds to commands that are linked to an objective physical action. He told Margarita to snap the fingers of her left hand, and that this would bring the sick woman's eyes back to normal size. Margarita snapped her fingers, and the result was as Jose said. Later, Jose thought about this episode. What if Margarita had gone to her level without him being present and had become frightened? He decided to have his children create adults who could be with them in their mental laboratories, not just as comforting presences, but as advisors and counselors. Soon, each of Jose's children had created an advisor to help in their psychic work. The children used their advisor to help them solve the health problems or other human problems that they were given. Jose was quite happy. He said to one of his boys, "Ask your counselor what he thinks of my idea." Back came the answer, "He says, what makes you think it was your idea in the first place?" Not exactly a child's response. But a further refinement was still needed. One day Margarita asked her male advisor about a female problem, but the male advisor was too embarrassed to help. After that, Jose had his children create a second counselor of the opposite sex. You will be choosing your own counselor to invite into your mental laboratory. A male counselor can help you with problems involving males. A female counselor can help you with problems involving females. So you'll continue to use an expert where help is needed, as you did on sides 5 and 6. Now, however, you'll learn to bring this expert into the laboratory you're about to create. Your laboratory will be a very personal place, so we'll not be doing a conditioning exercise to program it for you, as we did with such other Silva tools as the glass of water technique and with the mirror of the mind. Instead, I'll tell you how to go about creating your mental laboratory, and then you'll do it on your own. It's important, though, that when you go to your alpha level by the standard 3-to-1 method, you then add an extra 10-to-1 countdown to take you to a still deeper level, the creative level. After this extra 10-to-1 countdown, you are at a deeper level of mind, and this is where the fun begins. You can now begin imagining exactly what your mental laboratory is like. Creating your laboratory is just like building your dream house would be in the physical world, except that it's a lot easier. The first step is to decide where it should be located. It can be anywhere, on your roof, in your attic, in your own backyard. You can even build your laboratory in your neighbor's backyard, and he won't mind at all. It can be on a hillside, in a tree, or on a beach. You decide. Once you've settled on a location, the next step is to create a room, your ideal room. Once again, it's a good idea to do this step by step, just as if you were constructing a room in the physical world. But while it might take weeks in the physical world, it's going to take you only seconds. Start out with 4 walls, a ceiling, and a floor. Now paint the walls any color you want, or use wallpaper or tiling or wood paneling. You can even create an oak-paneled room with oil paintings on the walls. You can install bookshelves and cabinets if you like. The idea is to make a room you've always wanted, a room you'll enjoy going to every day. Determine which is the south wall of your laboratory and leave that wall blank. You'll need a desk and a chair. You can design all the furniture yourself if you like. In seconds, there they are. Position the desk and chair so you can sit at the desk and be facing the south wall. The south wall is where you will put your mental screen. You'll also need a clock and a perpetual calendar. Create a clock and put it anywhere you wish. Then create a calendar that contains all dates, past, present, and future. Again, put it anywhere you wish in your laboratory. Don't be concerned about remembering all of this because it's outlined in your progress guide. But it will help you if you begin to imagine your laboratory now as we proceed. You might want to have a panel of buttons and switches set in one of the armrests of your chair. They will help you regulate a number of things for your convenience and comfort. Every laboratory needs filing cabinets, but yours are special. You have one that contains all the information there is now or ever will be for men, and another just like it for women. All you have to do is know it's there, and it will be there. The filing cabinets can be operated automatically, so that at the touch of a button, the documents you're seeking will appear on the desk in front of you. Now there are just a couple of other things. You should equip your lab with all the tools that ever existed or ever will exist, up to and including the most powerful supercomputer, plus all the chemicals and medications that ever existed or will exist. If there are some miracle drugs that don't yet exist in the physical world, but that should exist, be sure to put those in your lab too. Things happen instantly at this level, so it won't take you much time to create your mental laboratory. When you're satisfied that you've got the perfect setting in which to do intuitive work, healing work, and psychic work to help make this a better world to live in, end your session by counting up from 1 to 10 and then from 1 to 5. Later that day, or as soon as it's convenient, go back and revisit your laboratory. Don't forget to do the extra 10-to-1 countdown after you've gone to your alpha level by the 3-to-1 method. As you re-enter your laboratory, check out the room, the chair, the desk, the clock, the calendar. It's all there just the way you left it. Check out the filing cabinets, the tools and equipment, the chemicals and medications. If you forgot anything for your comfort or convenience, now's the time to put it in. When you're sure that everything about your lab is exactly as you wanted, install your mental screen on the south wall. Now, behind your desk and on either side of your chair, create one more chair for the expert, whom we'll call the counselor, that you'll be inviting. But first, you'll need a way to bring him or her into your laboratory. To do this, you'll need an imaginary elevator with a door. Elevator doors usually open from side to side, but yours moves down into the floor. You use this kind of door so you can start with the head as you slowly lower the door and create your counselor's body as you go. Control buttons are on the arm of your chair. It's suggested that you end your session at this point, 1 to 10 and 1 to 5, and wait a few hours before returning to your lab to create the counselor. This advisor or counselor can be an individual for whom you have respect. You should invite different counselors into your lab to help with different problems. They may be famous people in the physical world, people who are widely recognized for their accomplishments, or they may be people from your own life whose judgment you have come to trust. But regardless of their place in the physical world, your advisors are supremely gifted in every field during the times they are with you in your laboratory. Even though they may be less than geniuses in some areas in everyday life, in the mental laboratory, your higher self is in touch with their higher selves, and higher selves are in touch with unlimited intelligence. Here's how to go about bringing your counselor into your lab. First, consider carefully whom you want to select. Do not let a counselor appear spontaneously. Remember, you are in complete control. You make things happen. Once you have selected the identity of your counselor, go back to your laboratory by the same countdowns you have been using, 3-1 and 10-1. As you sit behind your desk, visualize what your counselor looks like. Imagine that he or she is waiting outside the door that you created. Now mentally invite him or her into the laboratory by slowly causing the door to open from the top down. When the counselor has entered, close the door behind him and have him sit in one of your chairs. Thank your counselor for coming and end your session in the usual 1 to 10, 1 to 5 way. From now on, whenever you enter your mental laboratory, your counselor will be there. Greet him or her. Perhaps have a moment of silence or even say a welcome prayer. Many Silva graduates use the most powerful prayer of their particular religion, as this assures them that they are prepared to do the greatest good. In your laboratory, you will become whatever you assign your counselors to be. If you believe that they are all-knowing and endowed with great wisdom, then that is how you will be at this dimension of mind. It's important to understand that you do not create the counselors to do your subjective work for you. They are created to work through you. It is you who is learning and evolving, and they are your guides in achieving your goals. The way to receive help from your counselor is by asking for the specific information you need. Maybe you want to help somebody with kidney stones and you don't really know what to do. After asking, disconnect. That is, start figuring out what to do. You may get the idea to crush the stones with your fingers. Do it. The idea came from your counselor. When you leave the laboratory, say goodbye to your counselor. Once again, many people choose to say a farewell prayer. Disengage your mind from the problem you have been working on. Let go. Because at the creative dimension, you've already solved that problem. The mental laboratory is your place to be creative in the highest meaning of the word. You should use it every day.
When you first begin to use your mental laboratory, you may find you have the greatest success in working to solve health problems rather than other human concerns. The reason for this is that over thousands of years, the brain has developed a capacity to react very strongly to illness, injury, or matters of life and death. For reasons of survival, the brain immediately zeroes in on these concerns. Survival is the brain's number one priority. That's why we're going to focus now on how to do healing from the mental laboratory. Healing comes first because the brain's response is strongest to the needs of the sick and injured. You can put yourself on your laboratory screen and heal your own body, just as you might that of another person. You begin with healing because it's the easiest to do, and you can develop a history of success. This enhances your belief, and in turn your belief enhances your ability. Here's Dr. Stone to explain further.
How is it possible to heal someone's illness or injury at a distance, using only the power of the mind? That seems impossible from our everyday frame of reference. But remember, Space is a quality of the material world, as perceived by the left brain. Space does not exist at the subjective dimension. In the healing work you will do, you'll be using the right brain. You'll be functioning at the creative level, where you can transcend spatial limits. In fact, when you're functioning with the right brain, both space and time do not exist for you. You'll be able to actually change or eliminate unwanted conditions in others, just as you are able to do in your own body, because the distinction between you and them disappears at this level of mind. Just as there is no space, there is no separation between one individual consciousness and another. We are part of what one scientist calls the non-local mind. We are all of one larger consciousness, and the energy of that consciousness can be focused anywhere. It can detect problems anywhere, and it can solve them. You can go to your laboratory level, put the image of a person on your mental screen, and mentally detect a problem. Then you can imagine correcting that problem. You can see the person well again. And in this way, you'll simply create the wellness. At the end of the 4-day Silva training, the class is divided up into groups of 2 or 3 people. Each has brought with them cases on separate pieces of paper. A case is the name, age, address, and sex of a person they know is sick. One student goes to the laboratory level and is given the case information. He or she imagines the sick person and begins to describe that person's build, coloring, and other physical characteristics. Often, this description is astonishingly accurate and detailed. Next, the student examines the body in a way which I'll describe in a moment, looking for the ailment. He has spots on his lungs, the student reports. More astonishment at the accurate diagnosis. Yes, agrees the person who gave the case, he has a bad cough. Now comes the healing. No need to ask a counselor for help on this one. The student uses an imaginary eraser and rubs out the spots. Follow-up confirms that the persistent cough disappeared in 24 hours. Now let's see how this is actually done. To learn how to bring about healing at the subjective dimension requires some mental preparation, and you could take the 4-day Silva Method seminars to receive this preparation, but to a large extent you can also train yourself. Before you go to your laboratory level to actually work on specific cases, you should do several exercises at Alpha to orient yourself with respect to the human body. Count down by the 3-to-1 method and visualize someone whose face you're familiar with. Now imagine that you are entering that person's body, actually seeing the bones, nerves, and organs as they exist inside that person's skin. If you've had previous experience of how these look, draw on that memory. If you have not had such experience, look at pictures in a medical book or encyclopedia. What you see may or may not be accurate according to anatomy books, but it is right for you. Study the brain, the heart, the liver, the kidneys. You can render all these organs transparent in order to see inside them. When you have done this alpha exercise thoroughly and carefully, count yourself up. You should repeat the exercise I've just described several times before you undertake actual healing experiences in your mental laboratory. Let's now assume that you have done so, and that you've acquired a level of familiarity with the human body that you feel you can work with. You are aware of someone who is ill or injured, and although you don't know the exact nature or location of the problem, you decide to go to your laboratory level to help. You are confident that you possess everything that you need to detect problems and to correct them at the psychic level. Therefore, you do your countdowns and enter your laboratory. You greet your counselor, and perhaps you say a welcoming prayer according to your own spiritual guidance. After taking seats in the appropriate chairs, you project the image of the person you're going to help on your mental screen. If you don't know what the subject looks like, rely on your imagination and your knowledge of the human body. Sense the body. Feel it. Know it's there. Take for granted that the body is there. Now concentrate your attention on the image you've projected on your screen. Scan the body with your subjective intelligence from the head to the feet, up and down, several times rapidly. While scanning the body, allow yourself to sense 3 areas of greatest attraction. These are the areas of the subject's body that could be the location of the problem. When something draws your attention, trust the impulse that tells you to investigate further. Since you are new at this, it may seem as if you are simply making things up or relying on the first thing that comes into your head. If it feels like guessing, this is the feeling you want, the correct feeling. When you first begin working on these cases, don't be anxious. You'll be amazed at what your mind can do. With practice, you'll become more and more accurate. Every experience you have will be beneficial to you. Now scan over the three areas of attraction and select the one that you feel most drawn to. Enlarge or amplify the selected part of the body and allow your mind to focus on possible problems or malfunctions. Once you have detected the area of the subject's body that is the location of the problem, you may begin to heal it. By reaching out your hands at the objective level, you can pretend you are touching the subjective body of the person you are helping. You can apply healing massage to any parts. You can sew up damage to internal organs, or you can even replace them. Sometimes, for instance, you'll notice stones in the gallbladder, so you can simply crush them into fine powder. Sometimes, especially in an older person, you'll detect swollen or misshapen fingers caused by arthritis. If you look at the bone structure, you may see a white powder in the joints. You can heal these by brushing away the powder or by drawing upon the unlimited supply of medicines with which you've equipped your laboratory. Or you can create a new medicine specifically for your current subject. It sometimes happens that you'll look carefully at the body on your mental screen, but you won't be able to locate the problem. You simply draw a blank. At those times, you'll want to consult your advisor. You only need to ask for his or her help and you'll receive it. You can also get further information about the subject from the files and computerized records in your laboratory. Every time you enter this creative dimension, with a sincere desire to help humanity, you will also be helping yourself. Your talents will develop, and you'll find yourself becoming more accurate with each experience. And this is so. When you've completed your healing work, and you are ready to end your session, the last image that you see on your mental screen should always be of the subject in perfect condition, entirely free of any health problems whatsoever. You should thank your counselor and say a farewell prayer if you wish. Then bring yourself out with the 1-10, 1-3 method, feeling wide awake and in perfect health. What you've just heard is intended as a guide for you in your efforts to make this a better world. This is the whole purpose of the mental laboratory, and indeed the whole purpose of the Silver Method. You can use it to heal yourself and to heal others through the power of your thought, but you cannot use it to do harm. Research has shown that negative thoughts can affect the environment for a distance of about 25 feet, but positive thoughts are not limited by time or distance because subjective healing can be just as effective from 10 feet or 10,000 miles. Objective healing, or physical healing, is a different matter, and this is the province of the medical profession. Over many years, the medical profession has created a vast array of equipment and techniques for combating ill health. It requires years of university study to train doctors to use all of these tools. The Silver Method can be learned in a few hours, and can be mastered by people working in small, informal groups, or even by individuals on their own. The best approach to healing is to use the powers of both subjective and objective resources. The Silver Method is not a substitute for traditional medical treatment. Instead, it complements medical approaches. This is an important fact to keep in mind. When you go to your mental laboratory to help others by working in the non-physical realm, you are not encroaching on the territory of the medical profession. To protect yourself against the accusation of practicing medicine without a license, never do healing work on another person when that person is physically in your presence. Rather, you can be one of the millions of Silver graduates who are able to enter a deep alpha level and detect health problems at a distance. You can then make corrections at the spiritual level, which will become evident at the physical level. Here's an example of what I mean. In Jose Silva's hometown of Laredo, Texas, a cattle rancher told Jose how he'd been suffering from migraine headaches. Jose explained his research and invited the rancher to spend the day with him. As they talked, Jose mentally pictured the rancher's problem and then pictured him eating dairy products headache-free. Then they went to lunch in a restaurant. Jose spread some butter on a piece of bread and offered it to the rancher. The rancher said, "I love butter, but it poisons my system." Jose said, "It used to, but it doesn't anymore." So the rancher grudgingly ate two slices of bread and butter. Meanwhile, Jose reminded him, "It used to affect you like that, but not anymore." When he finished eating, Jose asked, "How long did it take for the headaches to come on?" The rancher said, 15 or 20 minutes. And Jose reminded him, "Not anymore." Of course, no headache appeared, not then or in the future. Starting that day, the rancher was able to eat dairy products headache-free. When you program yourself out of a health problem using the laboratory or the mirror of the mind, reinforced by mentally affirming, "I used to think like that, but not anymore." Yet it's also true that the healing powers of the mind are not the exclusive property of the Silva Method. A woman I'll call Louise was bedridden, suffering from a fast-rising fever. Some friends were visiting, and the subject of the mind's healing powers was brought up. The group of friends, all without training of any kind, decided to focus their mental powers on Louise and imagine a correction taking place in her fever. By morning, the fever had dropped from 104 degrees to normal. I'm aware of hundreds of cases like this. I have no doubt that as you continue with your training, you will add your own accomplishments to the list. The important fact is that when you go to Deep Alpha, you can do something that to many people seems incredible and amazing, but really is entirely within the capability of anyone who sincerely wants to master it. The fact is that you can use your mind to influence and correct malfunctions in the glands, tissues, organs, and nerves of your own body and of other people, even people you don't know, and even if those people are great distances away. At Deep Alpha, at the creative level where your laboratory is mentally located, you can actually affect even the very cells of your body. In fact, I recommend that you go to your laboratory and work on your own health and on your family's well-being every night before you go to sleep. You owe it to yourself and to your loved ones to develop this power that is within you.
This is the end of Side 10. On Side 11, you'll learn what the letters ESP should really stand for as you come to recognize your own natural clairvoyant abilities and acquire powerful techniques for putting them into action.